I guess it's good afternoon now. Thank you, Mike, and the rest of District 14 committee members for hosting this very special event. It's special in so many ways. Of course, we're dealing with COVID, and now we have to do these meetings via Zoom. So, you know, we have the technical challenges with that. So I definitely applaud the team here, and I've actually sat in during the intermission and watch some of the historical videos, and I really appreciate all the time and effort going to doing that. I've been part of some of these events before, so I know what is involved in the planning. So I applaud all of you guys. So thank you, and I appreciate being invited to speak. Mike and I have known each other now, gosh, it seems going on almost 2 years. It's amazing, and how time have flown. So anyway, I would like, my name is Brian. I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. I've been in the program now a little over 11 years. October of this year will be 12. And that is amazing when I actually say those numbers. And I don't say that coming from a position of authority. I'm very grateful that I've been in this program this long. And so I say that from a position of gratitude. Today, I'm going to share my experience, strength, and hope. I came across this title or topic, Strength for Your Journey. So I'm going to focus on that. My discussion is probably not going to be linear. History is not linear, so mine is no exception. It's probably going to move around a little bit here and there. So my experience, I was born and raised in Guyana. Guyana is a small country in South America, on the tip of South America. I grew up around drinking. I saw my uncles, my brother, and neighbors drank. And I lived in a community where, the working class community. People would come home after work. They would drink and usually have fights, you know, after the drinking. They got to a certain point, and that would probably evolve into them, you know, also inflicting injuries on their loved ones as well. So I saw all of that growing up. With the exception of my brother, who I saw actively drinking, my father was not a heavy drinker. He was I consider today, a social drinker. And my mom was not a drinker. And for me, I never really had the desire or the compulsion to drink. In my late teens, I moved to the United States in the early 1980s. As a young man, I loved to go dancing. I loved to go clubbing. The only thing I didn't like about that environment was drinking or doing drugs. So I sort of made my own rules, so to speak, that I wouldn't date anyone that drank or did drugs. So that was my thing. I enjoyed the environment, but I didn't like to participate in those types of activities. My growing up, just from coming from Guyana, a third world nation, coming to the United States, and we came here pretty much like refugees. You know, we didn't have any sort of like firm footing, more or less. So we had to find our ways. You know, I worked in so many different environments, cleaning houses, you know, just to make ends meet. So eventually, through working and perseverance, you know, I worked for a company where I got exposure to working with IBM mainframe computers, and eventually learned to do programming there. And so I got really involved in computers. I really took to it. Eventually, I moved to Southern California. I really liked Long Beach area. It reminded me, the palm trees reminded me of the Caribbean, and the warm weather was more in line with how I grew up in Guyana, as opposed to Northern California at the time. I'm skipping ahead. I actually, when we immigrated to the United States, we moved to the Bay Area. So the Bay Area for me was cold, damp. I didn't really like the weather. So seeing Southern California really appealed to me that, wow, this is more like home. I I visited Long Beach many times, and eventually I relocated there, and that's where I met my qualifier. She was exciting. I thought she was everything in the world to me. I did not know at the time that she was a drinker, or that she cocaine was her drug of choice. All those things were hidden from me. Or looking back now with some reflection, maybe I chose not to to actually look at it. Maybe I knew and didn't really want to actually accept the fact that I was dealing with someone that had had problems with drinking or drugs. So maybe I just wanted to ignore those details that were very significant. So I went from a person that was totally not into drinking and drugging to dating someone that was exciting and did those things, even though it was hidden from me for most of the time. So I did a 180, which is very, very interesting. So my life changed. I started taking care of this person because now, like the good Al-Anon, I had to rescue. And it was my responsibility to save this person from everything. So as a result, I used up my savings to take care of this person's financial situation, financial debts. I ruined my credit. Everything now, you know, looking back after many years in the program, realizing now I'm down in the slippery slope, you know. And then through that process, I got married. We had three kids. I'm now a grandfather of three boys. And my oldest son is 33. My daughter is 28. And my youngest is 23. So that's from the time we met, had those kids. I was married for about 20 plus years. And during the time of the marriage, there were highs and there were lows. And as I've come to understand, dealing with alcoholism, that's part of the characteristics, so to speak, of alcoholism. You have these highs and you have these lows. And I was definitely with the highs and the lows at the same time, and not realizing what I was dealing with. So that was my life. I started a computer business, and with all these struggles of living with someone with addiction and running a business and raising a family. So I decided to dedicate my life to like fixing everything, you know. So I became the fixer, you know, fixing the alcoholic, fixing any other issues my kids may have as a result of dealing with a personality that it's very unpredictable. So again, not having the tools, because this was the experience probably before going into Al-Anon, I didn't really know what I was dealing with. And I was trying everything. I was going to church. Hopefully that would fix it. Now, one of the things I've learned in Al-Anon, the three A's: awareness, action, and acceptance. And of course, I didn't have any of these tools. So I was trying to fix a problem that I really wasn't able to identify what was this problem. So I was trying all these different things without really knowing what I'm dealing with. But I knew there was a problem because, you know, as I found out later on with alcoholism, there can be issues with finances. You know, I was dealing with someone that at that time, I felt I was responsible for her decision making. So when it was time to, you know, pay the mortgage, and I realized that we're actually overdrawn instead of having money to pay for the mortgage, or they're about to cut off our electricity because the bill wasn't paid because that person took the money and did things that she thought was more important, I thought it was my responsibility to fix that. So I decided I have to work harder to make more money, as opposed to, hey, that is your responsibility. I didn't learn those things until later on. So that was a sort of I call it management crisis life that I had. I had these ups and downs, but it was a constant crisis as to where would the other shoe land as far as dealing with things financially. And then of course, I'm also raising three kids now. with their schooling, involved in their sports, and I wanted to be involved in their lives. And so time goes on. This came to a head later on in our marriage. Now, my daughter was about to graduate high school. My son had already graduated, my eldest, and he was in college. And my business is interesting. At that time, had really become successful. We had actually purchased our own office building. We're making strides. At the same time, I'm dealing with this problem that I don't even know what this problem is. And I'm in the computer business, and we know when we're presented with an issue from, if we're working on programming or setting up a network, you know, typically we can do troubleshooting, we can identify the problem, diagnose it, and come up with a solution, hopefully. But dealing with the issue, not knowing what was alcoholism, what was these issues, it was really challenging. And then having a partner that was not honest and saying, hey, I have a problem. So we started going to family counseling therapist together. And he was a family therapist. And he would say in our meeting, hey, he would point to my qualifier, you need to go to AA. You know, you need to stop drinking. And it didn't really resonate with me, like, what is AA and any of those things. And the therapist never suggested Al-Anon. I never heard Al-Anon ever mentioned in these therapy sessions. And I think we went there for at least 2 years, never once mentioned. And so, but he would always say, he needs to go to AA, to my qualifier. And then the qualifier, she would go to AA meetings. And she actually one time came home with a 30-day chip. And she said, hey, look at my 30-day chip. This is exciting. I was excited for her, but I still don't know what really I was excited about, because she didn't share anything about the program, nothing. So it was like she's doing her own thing. She can fix her problem, and then life is going to be great, right? Still not understanding the dynamics of alcoholism, drug addiction, or any kind of mental illness that's associated in her particular situation with this disease. So not having a full understanding, I was more relieved to know that she's doing something to take care of herself. But as I've learned again through the program, that alcoholism is a progressive disease. So the longer it goes untreated, the worse it gets. And that was my situation. My life was beginning to get out of control. My relationship with my partner was definitely, we were going to counseling. Things were falling apart really quickly. I was definitely, I feel I was losing myself. I couldn't sleep. I had back problems. I had knee problems, shoulder problems, all sort of ailments. I had no idea how they were connected to anything. And I'm a person that have worked out in the gym, ran my entire life, and I still do. So I couldn't figure out where these ailments are coming from. There was a point in my life where I couldn't walk for almost a whole year. And I was told that I had to have back surgery. And I was like, oh my God, my life is over. What am I going to do? So all these things were going on, not knowing what would the underlying reasons that were also impacting my life. Why was I having these physical ailments, you know, as a result of what? And I didn't drink. I didn't do any of those things. You know, I thought I lived a pretty good life, not realizing now that I was actually dealing with the, with what we call the, with alcoholism, you know, with it's cunning and baffling in so many ways. That's probably the cunning aspect of it and the baffling aspect of it as well. So it came to a head where I decided I've had enough. Everything was falling apart. And I mean, the manipulations, the lies, you know, it's the same old thing that we have heard so many times, but I eventually had enough. So I decided to move into my office. I had a little room right there. And within a month, my she filed for divorce. And that was, you know, I was surprised at one hand, but, you know, I was still trying to figure things out. I was running a business, had employees, had clients, responsibility to my children and to the qualifier. So it wasn't where I could just turn off the lights and disappear. So I had to show up every day and take care of things and dealing with the pressure of with an upcoming a divorce. And so so that process started, and within a few months of that being qualified of filing for divorce and being served with divorce papers at my office, she called me up one night and said she really needed to tell me the truth, that she needed help, and that she had had a prescription problem for years and drinking problem, and that she's finally ready to admit that she has a problem. And I was very reluctant, but I did agree to take her to the doctor. And he's confirmed, he said, yeah, you need to check in to a treatment center yesterday. So to get to the point, she actually did go to a treatment center. I assisted her, took her there, and she went into a 30-day program. While at that treatment center, there was a willingness in me. I don't know where it came from or what happened, but I just remember during the intake, they talked about having these meetings, Al-Anon meetings for families to come. And I don't, you know, what is Al-Anon? You know, I knew of AA just because of the name being out there, but I never really understood what AA is all about, so much less Al-Anon. But I decided to show up. I show up with my three children at a time. And I attended, and something resonated. You know, we were all meeting in a group. People were sharing their stories, and then they handed out these pamphlets, and they said, "Hey, you need to find a meeting in your area." So immediately, you know, I'm in computers. I've got, you know, I went online. I'm living in Southern California. I found, you know, the very first Al-Anon meeting that I went to close to my home. I took my youngest son and my daughter. And I went in there again, not knowing what's all Al-Anon all about. And I sat down, and people were talking, you know, speaking this language that I'm totally so unfamiliar with at the time. At the end of the meeting, I felt a sense of relief. I don't know where it came from, but I just felt a sense of calmness in the midst of this storm. And I couldn't analyze it at the time, but it just felt good. My adult daughter said that she's never coming back. And my minor son at the time, you know, he didn't eat away. He actually ended up being in Alateen for a little while. So he did come with me. And I just kept coming back to Al-Anon. I would go find these meetings and I would just show up. I mean, I was willing to show up. And this was in the midst of this crisis where I felt my entire world was falling apart. My qualifier was in a 30-day program. And now I now had the full responsibility of taking care of my children as well as the business, employees, vendors, et cetera. And then attending these programs, and I got to look back and say how much I really appreciate the fact. At the time, I didn't really appreciate that my qualifier had filed for divorce and now was in a treatment program, and I got exposed to Al-Anon. But that's what really changed my life, that intersection, not knowing it at the time. But I kept coming back. She's in a 30-day program, and I kept showing up at Al-Anon meetings. And every time I would leave, I would feel better. And I remember the voices would say, "Hey, keep coming back, keep coming back." And during those first few meetings, I would not share. I would just show up. And but the constant, what I was always here is keep coming back, keep coming back. And I was given a newcomer's packet that says, you know, they would, someone would greet me and say, you know, try at least 6 of the meetings. And if you're not happy, we're going to refund your misery and you can take it back. And I thought that was like a corny saying, like, what? Refund my misery? I don't think I want my misery to be refunded. So I'm going to keep coming back. And so I stayed. Unfortunately, the qualifier, she did not finish the 30-day program. She thought that it was not a place for her, that she was in a place where there were actually really real drug addicts or real heavy drinkers. And she didn't belong there. She belonged in a more upscale facility. And her father called me and said, yeah, his daughter she doesn't belong in with those people, and that she belonged into more, I guess, affluent treatment center. So he figured that out. Anyway, she quit after the 30 days, and that was it. I'm not sure if she has ever gone back into treatment, but our divorce process had already started. I think with the help with Al-Anon, and again, I kept going back, even with all the stresses of the divorce. Just a little side story, my divorce lasted 6 years, and it was really, my divorce should have not taken longer than 6 months. But again, I think with the Conan and Baffin disease of alcoholism, I was on that ride. And so I'm grateful for Al-Anon, because during those 6 years, it's really where I believe I got my foundation in this program. And that's where I was able to maintain my sanity and not lose it. And it's because of people like you that actually saved my life. And I kept coming back. So during those really difficult and challenging times, again, the alcoholic did not qualify, did not finish the treatment program, and she came back out. And of course, you know, the challenges of divorce kept going on. Nightcap is interesting, because as the problems with life, you know, dealing with my kids, the fallout of the divorce, that emotional trauma, and then my own other things dealing with my business, it was quite challenging. But Al-Anon was there for me. I don't know how I did it looking back now, and I'm grateful that I had recovery in Los Angeles, Southern California area. There was a meeting, several meetings every day. I can drive, and any of you are familiar with the area in Southern California, I mean, you have to drive to go through everything, right? So, I mean, I would crisscross the entire area just to get to a meeting. And I started building a friendship of a network of people and started making connections. You know, I would attend men's only meeting in Al-Anon. I would attend open AA meetings, the general Al-Anon meetings, and that started feeding me, and it started feeding my soul. I learned about the process and the concept of a home group, and so I identify with a home group. It was a big home group in Cerritos, California, probably 60 to 80 people, and at that home group there was an Al-Anon program. And my youngest son did attend, I would say maybe for about a year. And that gave me such joy during that time. He didn't stay with the program. His mother wasn't supportive of it. She said she would be supportive. And then that changed, which, of course, I found out is typical with alcoholics. But I am grateful that he did have at least that time in Al-Anon. So he have that in him. So wherever he goes in life, you know, he can always fall back in that. And he knows that I'm actively working the program today. So that, looking back, reflecting back, that is one of the true blessings for me as a father with children. And my older son did attend for a while too as well. So for my home group in Cerritos, California, they had a program that was set up. This, of course, the treasury, the chairman, and they have a person called the literature person, and they have these tables set up with all the books, Al-Anon pamphlets, all of the books that are part of Al-Anon, and the literature person would get up and talk about the literature, and say something about it, and encourage people to either buy a literature, or we also had what we call it a library, and you could borrow audio recordings, etc. So that person position was actually coming up for, I think it was a service commitment for about a year or 6 months. And so they were asking for volunteers. And at that time, I've come to get close to some of the quote unquote Al-Anon black belts in the program. And one of the black belts looked in my direction, and then she sort of nods to me for me to put up my hand. So I went like this. And at that point, I was thinking, I have about 6 months in Al-Anon, and I've learned enough not to say no. and just by showing up is part of us taking care of ourselves. So I did put up my hand to say, yeah. And I got to tell you, looking back, I was really, really apprehensive, really nervous about standing in front of this big group one night a week and talking, discussing literature. It was a really terrifying experience for me. One thing I learned from Al-Anon, which was a really big takeaway, which I use today, that, and at that time, I wanted to do the job like the person that was doing that position. I wanted to sing like her, articulate myself like her. I wanted to adopt her style of speaking. And that's part of my, of the isms. And the part of, I call the liberation in Al-Anon is that it's okay for me to be myself, speak with my accent, and it's okay for me to stutter sometimes because that's what I do. And you guys will still love me regardless. And so I showed up, I for over 6 months to a year, I was a literature person. I would, when the turn came around for me to describe the literature, I would have to talk about it. And I decided to do it my own way. And I talk about the literature because that's where I feel that I really found my feet in Al-Anon. Because I dove into the literature. I started reading. I wasn't reading everything then, but I decided I'm going to own every Al-Anon book there is, which I did. And I got a subscription to the forum, which all these years, I still have that subscription. And so that's how I started. And then they had the Audio Linden Library. I got in, and that's how I got in touch and learned about the speaker series. And that was so liberating. I working in the field I did, I had to take a lot of long drives, and I would put in my CD or podcast, whatever, and I would hear these amazing speakers. So that's how I came in from that side of embracing literature. So if there are any newcomers or anybody in Al-Anon trying to figure out a service position, for me, the literature position was very, it helped me with a foundation because I was exposed to what I like to call, the essence of Al-Anon for me. And this is my experience. And so as a result, I acquired all these books. And again, I'm still dealing with real life, going through a divorce, having to run a business, don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And the cool thing is that, I kept remembering these slogans, easy does it, one day at a time, which I really appreciate. So as I'm reading literature and accumulating these books, which I couldn't read all at the same time, but I would come home from a very exhausted day dealing again with all the things I described earlier. And I look around in my room and I see these Al-Anon books. I see how Al-Anon works. The daily readers, hope for the day, one day at a time, courage to change. They all would be stacked somewhere on a table with a whole bunch of other Al-Anon literature. And I just look at the title. So I may not have necessarily read everything, but the books were there. And it gave me such comfort. And every once in a while, maybe I turn a leaf of it. There's every possible thing that there was a good feeling about it. Eventually, as I continued to work the program, again, I built these friendships. I started to go to open AA meetings where I really felt that my recovery was coming at a point where now with the open AA meetings, I had another component. I like to call it like the full circle. And I really graphs like how this program started, what was it all about, and I found such a awesome fellowship with the men in AA, in the open AA meetings that I would attend. And to this very day, I have great friendships with those very same people, and I appreciate it. Even though I don't live in Southern California anymore, I live in Northern California, so my roots are still very deep within the program. And as I went along, I started inquiring about the steps. What are Al-Anon steps, the 12 steps? And I was very nervous about approaching the steps. I heard a lot of shares that it would change your life. And then I started looking around for a sponsor. And I About the time I've heard enough where, you know, look for someone that you want what you want, what they have, you know, like they're working a good program, and it's something that you want to emulate perhaps in your own life. So I found this person, and he was an amazing sponsor. And when I think about it, I get a little emotional because this is a person that, pardon me, my sponsor was very gentle with me. I never had such a close relationship with a man before. Deep, intimate. I was able to share all my darkest secrets with him. We worked steps together. He came to many of my divorce court hearings with me. He held my hand and walked with me every step of the way. So for those of you who are considering sponsorship, it will do wonders for your recovery. And it's not as scary as it seems. Once you make that commitment, and especially if you're already here in Al-Anon, or you're thinking about coming into Al-Anon, that means you're already giving yourself the gift of this program. And if sponsorship is something that you're considering, whenever, there's no time that you have to do it, but whenever you want to do it, it's an amazing gift. And that gift of sponsorship, working with a sponsor, changed my life completely. Changed my life. So I am so indebted to this program. So as I developed that relationship with the sponsor, and I call it recovering myself, I made some decisions. I came to this country. I did not have the opportunity to have a high school education. Coming from Guyana, we were escaping poverty and political turmoil over there, and I didn't have an opportunity to finish high school or finish high school here in the United States. Although I had started a company, I was self-taught, and I took a lot of courses to teach myself management skills, etc. But I didn't have a formal education. So I shared these things with my sponsor, and he said, you know what, you can do this. So I enrolled in a local community college in Southern California, and I started my journey there. I completed my AA degrees with distinction. As a result, I got a scholarship to the University of the Pacific, graduated there with honors, went on to my MBA, and now I'm in a PhD program. Now, none of this would have been possible without Al-Anon. And I don't say this is my story. And I don't say this with hubris or with ego, saying, you know, I'm this or that. For me, this is my story. And this is something that was very personal to me. Not having the opportunity to have an education was always a sore point. And when I was raising my children at a very young age, one of the things I wanted for them to do was to have an education. And I worked very hard to try to do that for them. And in most cases, I was able to succeed. So this was a very innate and deep desire for me. So having gone through this as a result of Al-Anon, working the steps and having the guidance of people like you in Al-Anon and where I'm at today, I was actually able to recover myself and give myself, I call it giving myself this gift that I always wanted. And here I am. In my first year of a PhD program that I'm thoroughly challenged and I'm thoroughly enjoying. And again, and it's because of this program, I'm able to have this life beyond my wildest imagination. And I must say something about that, because when I came in here, I used to hear, you know, oh, you're going to have a life beyond your wildest imagination. And I used to think, what exactly does that mean? Like what? Am I going to be a millionaire? I mean, what does that mean, really? You know, and I kept hearing it's an inside job, and I still didn't get what an inside job meant. Like, okay, I'm have wildest dreams beyond my imagination, the inside job. But today I know what that means. You know, it's really about wherever we're at, wherever our position in life, in a, what is important to us, whatever those desires are. I call it the true essence of who we are. That is, once we can find that, and this program was able to give that to me, that's what gets us to who we are. And that is where I am as a result of this program. So that's part of talking about my experience, the strength, and now where I'm at. And some of the things I have to also mention is, it's you know, during the time of when I first came into Al-Anon, where there are moments where I felt I couldn't go on anymore, and that it seemed like the best thing to do would be just to check out completely and not be here anymore. And this was in my early recovery stages. The phone list in Al-Anon is so important. And I didn't know it at the time. Part of my literature service role at the time was being in charge and keeping the phone list updated. At that time didn't really like to call anyone to share anything. And this is before I had a sponsor. But I decided to use the phone list because I've heard picking up the phone, it weighs 500 pounds, you know, not literally, but figuratively. And so I did. And someone in the other line, if that person didn't answer, then I would go down to the next person's phone number. And I've learned in the program to, if someone didn't answer, don't take it personal. Maybe they're busy or whatever. Just go to the next person on the list. And I did that. And every single time someone responded, I was able to position myself right where I was. And the overwhelming discussion was about, where are you? You know, stay in the present, keep your head where your feet are planted right now. You know, I had several occasions where I felt that was it for me. Like, okay, you know, I don't want to go on anymore. The pain is too much. Everything is falling apart. The court system is against me. And it's just, it hurts me. My children hurt so deeply. And I can't do anything to fix it. I felt so hopeless. I just thought, this is it, you know. Being on the phone, using the phone list, such a valuable tool, getting on that phone and hearing the voice calmly saying, I'm with you. We're going to walk through this together. Those are the important aspects of this program, where we care for one another, and we want to help each other be the best that we can by working this program. And I'm proof positive of that, where if it wasn't for people showing up at Al-Anon meetings and making themselves available to be part of this fellowship, I don't think I would be here today. And I'm so grateful for that. And that's the simplicity of our program in a nutshell. It's not more complex than that at all. It's about us caring about each other and helping each other along the way. And I've learned that now after many years in this program. You know, as before I was asked to speak, Mike and I talked about this, and I, you know, last couple of weeks I was putting my thoughts together. And it's interesting when you look back over the time I've had in Al-Anon, like the journey, and I think about the connections with people, the service positions, just the fact that they're showing up, coming to an Al-Anon meeting, or, you know, going to the directory, looking up because I need a meeting right now, and then going there, and sometimes there might be 50 people there, or sometimes there might be 2 people there. But the fact that someone is there and someone is willing to open up the doors, there is such magic in that. I mean, there's tremendous connectiveness in that, knowing that there's somebody that cares about you unconditionally, no matter what. They're not interested in your title. They're not interested in if you're a CEO, if you started a computer business, if you whatever. It's nothing about that. It's about the true essence of who you are. And that's what I personally believe that is so magical about Al-Anon. It's the fact that we truly care with each other. In fact, there is a saying in our reading saying, though you may not love all of us, something to the effect that we love you. And I didn't quite grasp that for the longest time. And I totally get it. I get it today. Service for me in this program is my way of giving it back. I know that today because there's times that I have not always worked my program when I feel like I needed to work it very, I needed to work it in a more diligent way rather than cruising and thinking that I have this number of years under my belt, it's all okay. Well, it's not okay because as I've learned, even though I have come a long way and I've recovered quite a bit from the effects of alcohol, from the effect of the disease of alcoholism, it's an ongoing recovery and there's no graduation day. And the more I work this program, the more I get out of it. My daily readers today are all marked up. You know, I don't know if you could see it over there, but you know, I have tabs. It's all, I have these now for over 10 years. And I've made little notes and inscriptions. And every time I go to a page where I've made a note, and I'm blown away. You know, these are my tools. And you know, for example, one day at a time, if I go to a reading and I go back, I usually put a date. You know, I go, wow, I wrote this in 2009, 2010. You know, what was my state of mind then? These readings are so important to my recovery. And the service of sharing and giving that back to someone else, like today, you know, being asked to speak here, it's a privilege that hopefully whatever I say today maybe could help someone. You know, take what you like and leave the rest. I've also heard in the program where. You know, now that you have built your castles in the air, now you can build your foundation. And I didn't quite understand what that meant. And looking back at my life, I knew I had these things that I wanted, like I wanted a family. I wanted to love my children and be part of their lives and do these other things that were important to me. And back when I was living with a disease of alcoholism, living in that household, I was building these castles in the air. But now I'm actually able, the castles are there, but now I'm able to lay the foundation, which I've been doing over the past 11 years or so. And it's a beautiful thing. And that's why I love about Al-Anon. It's so great. Today I have a partner, my wife. She has two boys, which they're now my sons. So altogether, I have five children, and it's an amazing relationship. And I think these things are all gifts of Al-Anon. I have, I mean, like any life, like any situation, I mean, there are challenges, there are ups and downs. But I don't have the issues of those highs and those lows at all whatsoever. My life is in a completely different space today. And all that I attribute to Al-Anon. You know, some of my favorite slogans, think, you know, I like to use that a lot when I'm pressured to respond to something right away, you know, whether, because this disease never stops, you know, whether we're living with active alcoholism or not, responding to something I've learned now, I don't have to respond right away. I can hit the pause button before responding. I can then call somebody in the program if I need to. I can journal about it. I can sleep on it, and then I can respond. Unless it's a true crisis, right? Somebody crisis doesn't become my problem. The other thing I like is halt. Hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. And if I feel any of those things, I know I need to check in with myself. And then if I'm hungry, then I need to go eat. As simple as that. If I'm angry, I need to deal with it. Lonely, I'm tired. In the past, before program, I felt that I had to be running an autopilot because I was master of the universe. I had to solve everybody's problems. So I didn't have any time to relax, to take care of myself. So today, I don't have to do those things. I can stop to take care of myself. And when I actually do those things and take care of me first, I'm actually better for other people. You know, like we talk about the situation, and I learned this in Al-Anon too, where if you're flying in the airplane and the oxygen mask comes down, you're always instructed to put the oxygen mask on first before you place it on to your minor child or your relative next to you. And that's not a selfish act in the true definition of being selfish. It's actually self-preservation. If you take care of yourself first, you are able to take care of others much better. And those were concepts where it just didn't make sense because I was so used to like having to take care of everyone else. And that's actually true today for me. If I'm able to do that, then I'm in a better frame of mind. Easy does it as well. You know, all these things allows you to pause. It gives you a moment to pause before responding, because my inclination before and my quote unquote normal way of doing things was always jumping in first, jumping in and rescuing whatever the situation may be. Today I have adult children. My youngest is a sophomore in high school. And I have a 17-year-old about to graduate from high school and going on to college. And today I can apply the tenets of the programs when I'm dealing with those relationships. And yes, there are challenges, but now I am able to separate what is my responsibility and what is their responsibility. And I do that for my minor children as well as for my adult children. And the same thing with my partner. What is her responsibility? Is that my responsibility or is it hers? I'm able to process that and know what is my role and actually do my best to live a healthy life and make healthy decisions. I don't always do it in a perfect way. There's times that I definitely have to make a lot of amends and I have to keep working the steps because I still think that I know everything. So I have to check myself and say, okay, nope, I need to make amends. And the cool things about making amends is that it frees you, it grounds you, and it puts you back knowing that, hey, I'm a human being. I'm not infallible. I can make mistakes. I say things that I may not necessarily mean. Perhaps I said it mean and I should have said it in a different way. But I can make amends today. And the program gives us these tools so that we can live a better life. So I can stop, make amends, and move on. Now, I cannot control what the outcome would be if the other person would accept my amends or not. But on my side, I know I keep my street clean. So I love doing that. The part for me now where I'm in my program, I look back to the people that were there for me. Like I mentioned earlier, like I had back before Zoom when we actually were able to show up at physical meetings. I'm grateful for those people that were there. I want to be one of those Al-Anons that want to give it back, want to show up, want to be available for the newcomer. To the newcomers out there, you know, the newcomers are the lifeblood of this program. You know, it's the newcomers come in and the people that have had the experience, we can share our experience, strength and hope with you. And hopefully you'll get something out of it. And that's, to me, the beauty of this program is being able to share that. And hopefully that can help someone else in their walk, in their recovery from the disease of alcoholism. I think I pretty much covered all my points that I wanted to talk about. And I, at the beginning of the talk, I said that my history is not is not linear, and like history, it's, you know, it's, it goes back, it comes forward, and I know I probably bounced around a couple of times throughout my talk, and hopefully some of you did get something from this talk. I know I did, and I appreciate the opportunity to show up today to be of service. Yeah, it's a little bit different being on Zoom because I cannot see anybody's facial reaction. So I feel like I'm speaking into a vacuum, more or less. But again, this is the richness of our program, right? We're able to be flexible and we're able to be supportive, because even though I don't say it right, I know you guys are going to love me anyway. And so I am grateful for every one of you being part of this committee and all the reminders I've been getting throughout the years to keep me on track and focus. Hey, I really, really, really deeply indebted and grateful for that. And the people that are on the conference, again, thanks for showing up, and thank you for allowing me to speak. And hopefully what you heard today, perhaps you can take something away. So thank you very much.